Brought to you by JMR Rentals, jmrny.com. Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby, and today on the program, we're talking audio series. Later, I'll be speaking with Peter Matei, the creator of the new Audible original podcast, Sonarius, The Mysteries of M. But first, we got some No Rest for the Weekend news. All right, so we're back in the studio. I got my co-producer, Brenda Betrayed Oliver. Say hello so they know you're real.
I'm a real person, everybody.
It's great to have you help me with the show. I get lonely when I do these things in the other studio. We have to think of a cool name for this studio.
Yeah. Our space.
the mini studio we call the Rabbit Hole Studio, you know, after Behind the Rabbit. So we'll have to think of a cool name for the podcast studio.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. That's your job, though. That's an executive decision.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, man. All right, so we're going to do some news. What do we got coming up for our first story?
Film festival updates.
So we got an update for some film festivals up for you. As reported on an earlier news episode, Female Voices Rock will return as an in-person event running from May 5th to the 7th right here in Brooklyn at the Wythe Hotel. In their recent press release, Female Voices Rock programmer and producer Maria Akay had this to say. We're excited to produce a platform that not only highlights the incredible work of women behind and in front of the camera, but to celebrate their work and continue to grow this network of talented filmmakers. The lineup features over 30 short films, including all the projects from the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, inaugural Latino Lens, narrative short film incubator for women of color, which is sponsored by Netflix. This includes Eileen Alvarez's Mama Retreat, Caroline Guo's Firecracker, Eunice Levi's Row and the Stardust, and Angelita Mendoza's The Blue Drum. Female Voices Rock team hopes that the festival is a springboard for all of our filmmakers for the next great step in their careers. For more information, the festival website is femalevoicesrock.com. Running from May 16th to the 27th is the Cannes Film Festival. Now, this festival will open with the world premiere of Jean du Barry, directed by French actor slash filmmaker Ma Win, who also plays the titular role. Jean du Barry also stars Johnny Depp and is set to be screened on May 16th at the Grand Théâtre Lumière. It will be released in French theaters on the same day. Literally, pardon my French. Also making its world premiere at the festival is the latest installment of the Indiana Jones franchise, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which comes 15 years after the previous installment, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Directed by James Mangold, the fifth and final edition of the franchise is the first film in the saga to be directed by someone other than Steven Spielberg. This film finds Indy approaching retirement and struggling to fit into a world that seems to have outgrown him. But when an all-too-familiar evil returns in the form of an old rival, he must don his hat and pick up his whip once more to make sure an ancient and powerful artifact doesn't fall into the wrong hands. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny will be screened on May 18th in Cannes, presented with a tribute to Harrison Ford, and is set to be released on June 28th in France and here in the U.S. on June 30th. Also making its world premiere is Killers of the Flower Moon, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Lily Gladstone, Jesse Plemons, and recent Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser. Based on the book of the same name, Killers of the Flower Moon is the story of a series of mysterious murders of members of the Osage tribe in the 1920s, which sparks a major FBI investigation involving J. Edgar Hoover. The film is scheduled for theatrical release on October 20th. For more information on the Cannes Film Festival, their website is festival-cannes.com. The Brooklyn Film Festival will run from June 2nd to the 11th as a hybrid event online and in venues here in Brooklyn, including Windmill Studios in Greenpoint and the Wythe Hotel in Williamsburg. In addition, there'll be panels, one-on-one chats with professionals, and pitch sessions for works in progress. The entire lineup of 150 films will be available online, including feature narrative films, documentaries, shorts, animation, as well as a kids' film festival. For more information and a full schedule of events, visit brooklynfilmfestival.org. Also in June, the Tribeca Film Festival will run from June 7th to the 18th. The festival includes a wide array of media, including films, television, gaming, and audio storytelling, as well as talks with filmmakers and creators. And I'm happy to announce that we will be there covering the red carpet once again this year, just like we did last year. So, Oliver, you remember being on the red carpet of Tribeca last year?
Yes, I loved it very much. I mean, who can forget Ray Romano, Dinklage, John Hamm? It was great. It was fabulous. I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
It's going to be interesting. We're going to try to cover more this year than we did last year. We're rolling fast and light and trying to be as many places as possible. It should be... It's usually a packed festival. We don't have a lot of details on it right now, but we hope to bring you some updates as we get closer to June. All right, what's our next segment?
Summer movie preview.
Opening on June 23rd is the latest effort from Wes Anderson, Asteroid City. It's a period comedy set in 1955 about a junior stargazer convention. This looks like a very Wes Anderson movie with the typical twee aesthetic and an all-star cast, including Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Tilda Swinton, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, Bryan Cranston, Ed Norton, Adrian Brody, Liev Schreiber, Margot Robbie, and Steve Carell. Anderson's last film, The French Dispatch, to me, it almost seemed like he was kind of parodying himself for that one. But this one looks like it's more true to form and looks promising. Coming up in theaters on July 14th is the latest installment of the Mission Impossible saga, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. This film looks to be the most action-packed of the franchise, which is saying a lot. Also reprising their roles in this one are Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, Rebecca Ferguson, Henry Zierney, who played Kittredge in the first film. They're bringing that character back, which will add some interesting flavor. And the big bad for this one is played by Isai Morales. On July 21st, we have Oppenheimer, a biopic from the director Christopher Nolan about J. Robert Oppenheimer, the physicist known as the father of the atomic bomb, starring Cillian Murphy in the titular role. Joining Murphy is an ensemble of another all-star cast. We got Florence Pugh, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Rami Malek, Josh Hartnett, and Betty Safdie. This is another big screen, big IMAX effort from Nolan, who wants everyone to see it on the biggest screen they can find. I haven't loved every Nolan picture, but I do admire that the man swings for the fences each and every time. And this should be good. I saw the trailer. It looks fantastic. In August, Jason Statham reprises the role of Jonas Taylor in The Meg 2, The Trench. This is a sequel to 2018's The Meg. While exploring the Marianas Trench, he and a group of scientists discovered a megalodon, the largest marine predator that ever existed. The first movie did very well, earning over $500 million at the box office. So, as those is the way in Hollywood, we're getting another one of these. The Meg 2, The Trench dives into theaters on August 4th. Also opening on August 4th, the new animated feature Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. It's a reboot of the Ninja Turtles franchise from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. This film promises to retell the origin story of the Turtles and features voice talents of Paul Rudd, Jackie Chan, Giancarlo Esposito, Seth Rogen, John Cena, and Ice Cube. Gran Turismo, an adaptation of the popular video game, speeds in the theaters on August 11th, directed by Neil Blomkamp and starring David Harbour, Orlando Bloom, and Jimon Hansu. Gran Turismo is based on the true story of a teenager who won a series of Gran Turismo video game competitions and is on his way to becoming a professional race car driver. This seems to be a bit of a departure for Blomkamp, who came on strong in 2009 with his first feature, District 9. He has mainly directed sci-fi and horror films. If you want to catch some of his work, I highly recommend Oats Studios on Netflix. On August 18th, DC's Blue Beetle opens in theaters. According to Rotten Tomatoes, this film was originally supposed to be an HBO Max exclusive, but will now be getting a theatrical release. Blue Beetle is the story of Jaime Reyes, a young man who discovers an alien technology that gives him superpowers. We've seen this character in various animated efforts from DC, but this is his big live-action debut. Directed by Angel Manuel Soto and starring Zolo Maradueña as Jaime Reyes, Blue Beetle is the first Latino superhero to get a live-action feature film. In September, we have the latest installment of the Equalizer franchise. Once again, Denzel Washington will return as Robert McCall, and Antoine Fuqua will be in the director's chair. Equalizer 3 will reunite Washington with his Man on Fire co-star, Dakota Fanning. These movies are dad movies. They're the kind that your dad would watch on cable on a Sunday. They're a lot of fun. Denzel kicks some major ass in them. I'm looking forward to it. Have you seen the Equalizer films?
Yes, I enjoyed 1 and 2. Very much so.
So we're getting the trilogy.
Yeah.
Now, fun fact, this is Denzel's first sequel. You know he was never in a sequel before these movies?
Never ever?
Never ever. He only did for, like, if you think about his filmography.
Yeah.
As far, this is the first time he's done a sequel.
1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
So this is his only franchise film.
Yeah, I wanted him to do a Don Q too, but I don't know why he didn't, because I wanted to see what happened after he got out of jail with his son. But never mind.
But, you know, well, I guess Equalizer made more money than that one. So we're going to get a 3 on the Equalizers.
Okay, hooray for the Equalizer.
All right, also in September, Next Goal Wins. It's an adaptation of the 2015 documentary of the same title. Directed by Taika Waititi, Michael Fassbender stars as a Dutch-American soccer coach who is brought on board to turn around the American Samoa national team, which is considered to be one of the worst in the world. The film also stars Oscar Keitley, who has appeared on this program when he spoke about his documentary, Dawn Raid. For more on Oscar Keitley, check out episode 1101 of the show. Next Goal Wins will be in theaters opening on September 8th. All right, so that's all the movie news that's fit to print for right now. What movies are you looking forward to this summer?
I think I'm kind of conflicted now, maybe all of them. Definitely The Equalizer, and most definitely Harrison Ford movies is, I am definitely looking forward to. Yeah, so the next Harrison.
Now, all right, we got to move on. I'm going to talk about the next thing, our interview. It's a little bit different for this show. We haven't really talked about, we talked a lot about, you know, TV and film. That's our usual bag, but this is audio. This also goes on TV, but it go and video channels. But, you know, we have about 10 different podcast channels that it goes on as well. And this is a pure audio series. So it's called Sonarius, The Mysteries of M, and it's a new fictional audio series now streaming on Audible. Peter Mattei is a multi-hyphenate artist. He's a television series creator and showrunner. He's a playwright, novelist, screenwriter, director. He's written original pilots for HBO, Fox, A&E, CBS, and ABC. He also created and directed an original documentary series for AMC. And his show, his critically acclaimed show, The Outsiders, is now streaming on Hulu. So I had the chance to catch up and talk with him about his most recent project. Here's my interview with Peter Mattei. Welcome, Peter.
Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me as part of your junket. I definitely want to talk to you about the series, but first I want to talk to you a bit about you. So can you give me some of your background and kind of how you got into show business and everything? Like, what's your origin story?
Well, that's a good one. I come from like a working class family in St. Louis, basically. And I was, you know, pretty straightforward through college. I studied economics and stuff. And then I got out and moved to Chicago. And I really just fell in love with the arts and writing and everything, and particularly theater, going to like Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago back in the day. And so I went to graduate school and I studied playwriting and directing at Yale. And then I moved to New York City and was part of a kind of like DIY underground theater company in the 90s, and did a lot of plays there and then all over the country actually. And that sort of like, I always loved film. Theater was a little bit of a diversion from film. And then I got back into it. I wrote a screenplay that got me into the Sundance Filmmakers Lab. And I met a guy there named Bob Redford, who decided to produce my little movie. So we made a very, very micro budget film that we shot in New York about a little over 20 years ago. And that sort of got me going into writing more scripts. And I one day had a really wacky idea for a TV show that I pitched to my agent, and he set me up with some meetings, and I sold a TV pilot. which was very bizarre because I had really no, you know, interest in being a TV person. But I ended up selling a bunch of TV pilots, and then finally, none of them ever got shot. But finally, I wrote one that I just decided was so weird that it would ruin my career. And not that I had a huge career, but it was called Outsiders, and it actually became a show. It's on Hulu now, and it is basically very, very weird. So that kind of got me my own show. And meanwhile, I've been writing different features and things like that and working on other things. But I kind of, during the pandemic especially, I just had this idea that became Scenarios that I thought could be a movie, but it actually, because it was so much about sound, I thought, well, this would be wonderful as a kind of, you know, audio drama, podcast, radio, fictionalized thing. And so I just went and wrote it and just decided to go back to kind of do-it-yourself roots. And I was bouncing back and forth between California and Austin, Texas, where I am now. And I just put together a team of people in Austin and we recorded it.
Very cool. So this was a just think it up and do it kind of project.
Yeah, exactly. It was just sort of, you know, DIY.
Was the initial plan like, let me pitch this somewhere and see if I can, you know, get someone else to produce it and put their money into it? Or was that never on the table? You're just, the only way this is going to get done right is if I do it kind of thing.
No, funny that you should ask, because I did have someone that was interested in doing helping me do exactly that. But I had all these other projects in the works, in the, you know, the machine and the industry. And I just decided that this one was sort of like too close to home. And it was something that I really, really cared about and didn't want to like put out there into the, you know, the Hollywood verse. So I just decided to take it off and do it. Yeah.
Before we get too much into it, like, so give us a little synopsis. Like, what is the, like, give me a little plot. Give me a little story synopsis of the series.
Basically, it's the story of a woman, her name is Jen, and her brother has jumped off the Williamsburg Bridge, actually, and killed himself. And she, a year later, decides to open up his cell phone and see if there's anything there that, you know, she might help with her grieving. And indeed, he has left her 6 voice messages. And those messages lead her on a journey from New York across the country, where she learns things about her family, her mom and her dad, that she didn't know before. I don't want to give up any spoilers. She begins to wonder if, in fact, her brother maybe is still alive and where he might be. And so basically each of the 6 episodes, well, there are 7 episodes, but each of the last 6 episodes are based on one of his voice messages that takes her in different directions until she finally gets out to like the Mojave Desert near LA, where she kind of learns some other truths.
What was the, I mean, you said it was like a personal story. What was the inspiration behind it?
In our family, we've had some mental illness, and I've had some friends and family over the years that committed suicide. And so it was just something that I had been thinking about. And, you know, it was just decided to write a story about grief, and healing, and also sort of foregrounding mental illness and, how that affects, family members and stuff.
It doesn't sound like a laugh riot in terms of the story. It sounds like it's pretty intense. What kind of impact did you want it to have on audiences?
Well, I really wanted it to be very moving and everything. And it's not a laugh riot. It's definitely not a comedy. Although I think the character of Jen is a pretty funny person in general. But what I really wanted it to be was kind of like an immersive experience. You know, it's kind of deep, and it's all underscored by an incredible score by this great composer, Anton Sanko, who's a friend of mine in L.A., who's done a lot of TV and stuff. He did Big Love, and he's done a lot of things. And so that sort of is the underbelly of it. Like I really just wanted it to be something that you could, put on some really good headphones and stuff. It's not a super fast-paced superhero kind of, comic book energy at all. It's much slower and more emotional and more kind of character driven. But it is a thriller. Each of the episodes kind of ends with a question mark, like in a surprise, moves you on to the next part of the story.
It was there any intention to kind of start this off as an audio series and then bring it to television?
Not to television, but I think it would make a nice film. I mean, sure, it could work as television, but I think it's a little more kind of quiet, and I think it would make a very interesting road trip movie, actually, of her and her brother with these voice messages. But I don't know, people have to listen to it, give it a listen, and post a review and tell me what you think, where I should go with it next.
How did you get it to Audible in the first place?
I was given a connection, and I sent it to them, and kind of blind, and they got back to me and said that they really loved it and wanted to get behind it. So it was great. I mean, I spent some time reaching out to different platforms and stuff to figure out who would be the best. I actually knew Audible very well because in point of fact, totally coincidentally, I actually sort of freelanced for them when they were back in the late 90s when they were just barely starting. So I knew Audible well, and had, been so proud of its success over the years, and the founder Don Katz and everything. But I didn't really play that card. I really just kind of went to them blind, and they liked it. So
Audible, especially, and some of these other channels, they seem really star driven. Like they want names and things like that. And you didn't go with a name cast. You went with these were theater performers that you knew. Like, how did you get them involved?
I didn't know them before we did this. They're just local Austin, Texas actors that have experience doing, TV shows and films and things here, and theater as well. And they were brought to me by a casting director here named Vicky Boone. So yeah, definitely, I very much wanted to avoid the celebrity thing with this and work with like a close-knit, team of people that could really kind of pull this together. It was, did that make it difficult? It might have, I'm not really sure. I know everything seems to be celebrity driven these days. But I have a lot of faith in, actors that aren't known and that are struggling and working hard and have a great talent and stuff. So hopefully people can discover some here.
What are the plans for it going forward at this point?
Well, it's available now on Audible. There could potentially be a season two, I think, to be determined. Yeah, we just launched it, so we're just waiting to see how people react.
Have you gotten reactions from, friends, family, and people so far?
Surprisingly, most everybody seems to really like it. I thought maybe it would be too trippy and weird and dark for a lot of people, but they said no, it was very, very emotional, and they really connected to the character, loved the performances and stuff like that. So I've been very, very grateful and energized about people's reactions so far.
If people want to know more, where can they find out more about the show and about you online?
Well, they can go to Audible, and search for Cenarius, and then it's got a great page about me and all the cast and everyone involved in it. They can also, if anybody that wants to check out my show Outsiders, it's available on Hulu. There's 26 episodes there to watch. And otherwise, I guess, I don't really do social media very much, to be honest. So I used to do Instagram, but not anymore. But IMDb, you can learn more about me now.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, visit our website, norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. And now you can find us on Instagram at No Rest for the Weekend. I'd like to thank my producer, Brenda Betrayed Oliver, and my guest, Peter Matei, and of course, our sponsor, JMR Rentals. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.